is episode 24 of the Rookie Big Board. I'm your host, Matt Hicks, the FF Educator. And on today's episode, we're going to go back to building boards here, but we're actually going to rebuild a board. We're going to take a look at the 2020 running back class, see exactly how much has changed over the course of a year. So we're going to start by going back to my 2020 rookie running back rankings. Then we're going to move that forward here. I'm going to talk about my 2021 projections in terms of seasonal for all of these running backs, check in on all of their situations at this point in time. We're going to finish up the episode by actually looking at their dynasty value and building that board of five running backs here. We're going to focus on the big five: DeAndre Swift, Jonathan Taylor, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, J.K. Dobbins, and Cam Akers. We might touch on some of the extra guys there on the list, but those were the five guys that really made up this generational running back class. So a lot of the times here on the Rookie Big Board, we're looking forward, but I think we would be remiss if we didn't at times take a moment here to look back at the previous classes, check in on values here, and gauge it over time. Of course, as you know, I'm going to dig into stuff that is available to patrons in detail, including my dynasty rankings, including last year's rookie rankings, and of course also my 2021 season projection. So you can check out all of that at patreon.com/theffeducator. Now let's actually jump into it here, and I want to start by looking back at my post-draft running back rookie rankings from last season. So this is post-NFL draft. I had Jonathan Taylor as my running back one, and it was ever so slight. DeAndre Swift was my running back two, and I want to point out here that pre-draft, DeAndre Swift was my running back one. Of course, Jonathan Taylor landing in Indianapolis proved to be a really fruitful landing spot compared to DeAndre Swift landing in Detroit. Now, Clyde Edwards-Helaire came in as running back three for me. Clyde Edwards-Helaire in his pre-draft tape was running back five on this list, but he jumped J.K. Dobbins and Cam Akers because of the expected high volume workload, and now looks like we have a little bit better of an understanding of the Clyde Edwards-Helaire role in Kansas City, and so we're going to talk about how that changes here when we get into his projections and his new dynasty rankings in terms of this group. J.K. Dobbins came in at number four for me, and then Cam Akers came in at five. So that was our starting point here. But I want to look at now what it's going to look like here for the 2021 season for these guys. Coming in, and this is the hot take. This is kind of honestly the motivation to do this episode. It starts with DeAndre Swift. I seem to be higher on DeAndre Swift than nearly anybody that I have seen right now. And I just don't understand why we're knocking DeAndre Swift. Actually, let me take that back. I understand why we're knocking DeAndre Swift. It's just not for good reasons. Everybody, every time, the only argument, and this dates back to last year, by the way, the only argument I ever hear for why DeAndre Swift can't be a running back one in fantasy football is, well, he plays for the Lions. That is such a lame narrative. It's a cop-out. It's you don't want to do the research. You don't want to actually look at the numbers. It's so frustrating to me when I see that. He's a Detroit Lion. I get it. I understand we don't want to trust the Detroit Lions. I understand there's precedent there, but we have a new head coach. We have an entire new coaching staff. We have a new offensive coordinator. We have a new front office. This is not last year's Detroit Lions. So even if that narrative held up, it shouldn't extend to this year. It was a bad narrative to start, and it's a debunked narrative. But let's actually look at what DeAndre Swift did last year. In PPR formats, he finished as running back 16 despite only having 114 carries and 46 receptions last season. So that's the floor. He's not going to finish lower than a running back 16, and I have everybody telling me that he's not going to be a running back 1. All right, well, let's extend it. Let's actually look at what I have projected out for him this season. DeAndre Swift for me, and I don't have ridiculous numbers on DeAndre Swift. Everybody's saying, oh, I'm worried about the depth chart. Look at the Detroit Lions depth chart. It's Jamal Williams, and then it's Jamar Jefferson. Folks are worried about Todd Gurley. Add Todd Gurley. Put him on the roster. Add Todd Gurley into this. I'm still not concerned. They're going to have to add somebody. It's Jamal Williams and Jamar Jefferson after you're starting running back. This is an NFL franchise. NFL teams need four or five running backs just to make it through the season. These guys get beat up. And especially it seems like this offense that's going to want to run the ball, they've invested in the offensive line. They continuously reinvest that. And Detroit now all of a sudden has one of the better offensive lines in the NFL. And on top of that, Jared Goff, who is a running back who depends on the play action, and we know whether it's statistically sound or not, we know NFL head coaches, such as the staff in Detroit, especially more traditional staff, they're going to run the ball to set up the play action. Which means it and Jared Goff really kind of living off of that play action. He relies on his running game to be successful. So they're going to need to run the ball. In total, I have Detroit running the ball 440 times. That's not an obscene, that's not an obscure projection, that's not an oddly high. That's probably about league average here in terms of my full projections. 440 rushing attempts. And then, look at this. I don't even give DeAndre Swift a ridiculous number of carries. I give him 193 rushing attempts. 193 rushing attempts. That's 44% of the workload. I gave Jamal Williams 36% in my projections. I gave Jamar Jefferson 12%. Add Todd Gurley in there. Maybe he takes 15 carries from DeAndre Swift. He probably eats into the numbers from Jamal Williams, Jamar Jefferson. Don't be surprised. They're probably going to add a Todd Gurley-like guy in there. But I'm telling you, it doesn't matter. And here's what everybody forgets about DeAndre Swift. Here's what was an underrated part of his game in college. DeAndre Swift can catch the ball. He's a very successful catcher. Everybody has it. It's burned into their brain. It's burned the one drop touchdown pass that kept him off the field early last season. It's burned into your brain. I get it. But if you look over the course of his season, he got 46 of his 57 targets there in his first season. That is fantastic for 357 yards and two touchdowns. Yes, he dropped a touchdown pass. Clearly, that didn't really keep him off the field. The other thing I want to point out is that DeAndre Swift, he comes from Georgia. Georgia does not feed their running backs as high volume guys. They always have a stable of running backs. They're high caliber, five-star, four-star guys, and they rotate through them. So DeAndre Swift has been extremely productive despite the fact that he's never had to be the running back. He's never had to be the only guy. Look back at Jonathan Taylor at Wisconsin. He was running the ball 300 plus times a season. He was doing it very well, but that's what Wisconsin does. They pick one back, they run him to the ground. That's not what Georgia does. They rotate through their backs. And so DeAndre Swift understands what to do when he has limited opportunity there, or he rotates on and off the field. And like I said, I still think he's touching the ball over 250 times this season. So I have him catching 47 of his 63 targets. That's not an obscene number. Again, I didn't jack that number up. I have him 3 receiving touchdowns. That's on par with last year, 358 receiving yards. That's one more than last year, and he's going to play 3 more games. All my projections, by the way, are currently based on 16 games, just so we can better compare year to year, and they're going to flip to 17 on the projections next at the end of the summer. And so here's the big difference. Here is where DeAndre Swift will make or break being a running back 1 or a running back 2. It's the touchdowns. Last year, on 114 rushing attempts, he had 8 touchdowns. I've met 11 rushing touchdowns. He had 46 receptions for 2 receiving touchdowns. I'm at 47 receptions for 3 receiving touchdowns. There's an easy path for DeAndre Swift to get to 14 touchdowns. He does that. He projects out right now as running back 6 in my projections. I don't see any way, assuming he stays healthy, assuming he gets 250 touches, that's not even asking a lot. He's going to be a running back 1. DeAndre Swift is a super talented player, and he knows how to be efficient with his touches, so he doesn't need Derrick Henry-type rushing attempts in order to get to that fantasy football ceiling. He's going to hit it with 250 attempts. I'm excited about it. Let's bop over to Jonathan Taylor. The rest of these projections probably aren't going to be as passionate, let's say, or as detailed, because it's a little bit more straightforward. DeAndre Swift is really the one whose narrative I think has been pulled too far. Jonathan Taylor, he finished as running back 6 last year. That was fantastic. You know, he got the most volume out of any of these rookie running backs. He proved the ability over the course of the season. He did start off a little rocky, but he proved over the course of the season that he was a really, really productive rusher behind a really, really good offensive line. 232 attempts for 1,169 yards and 11 rushing touchdowns last season. He also caught 36 of 39 targets, which is absolutely ridiculous, for 299 yards and a touchdown. So if you go ahead and translate that to what I have here for him this season, I have 207 rushing attempts. And remember, it's actually less than the previous season. And the big reason I have less is because I do think they're going to want to get Marlon Mack back involved in the game. I do think they like Nyheim Hines. So as long as Marlon Mack stays healthy, I think he's actually the biggest deterrent. He's what's stopping Jonathan Taylor from being like a top three running back for me. And he's going to be gone next year. So keep that in mind for fantasy purposes. Mack has 1 year left. And again, he's not going to be the workhorse, but I think Mack's going to take 25% of the work. And Jonathan Taylor, I mentioned I had DeAndre Swift as a better pure runner, and it's Jonathan Taylor's a very, very good runner as well, but he's a guy that you want more volume with in order to really have him in that top three, top five range. But that's not knocking Jonathan Taylor. I haven't projected out to be running back 9 right now in 2021 projections. So again, going back to it, 207 rushing attempts, 1,035 rushing yards, 12 rushing touchdowns. Remember, he had 11 rushing touchdowns, so I'm actually increasing that. And I have him with 32 receptions for 257 yards and 2 touchdowns. So again, dropping down his receiving work just a little bit. And that does play into the fact that now we have Carson Wentz in there. So I think there's going to be less check down. I think they're going to open up the passing game a little bit more. And I think just naturally too, I think Indianapolis is going to shift to throwing the ball more and relying on Carson Wentz. Throwing the ball to Michael Pittman, who's progressing, Paris Campbell, who, if he's healthy, you know, really showed some early flashes last season, so he could really progress. You have T.Y. Hilton and Zach Pascal coming back. And then you have some interesting tight ends in Mo Alie-Cox and Kylan Granson and even Jack Doyle. So I do think Indianapolis is going to swing back to running the ball a decent bit more, or passing the ball a decent bit more, I should say, but there's still plenty left over for Jonathan Taylor. If you want to take him in the first round of a seasonal league, not knocking you. The upside is there. The floor is there. I haven't projected out as running back 9. Would it surprise me if he's a top 5 guy? No, absolutely not. Coming in here next in terms of seasonal projections is Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And you'll see now, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he was my running back 3 coming into last season, and I really adjusted for his volume and his workload, but still a really good spot here for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He disappointed to a degree last season, and it was really just he wasn't being consistently used by Andy Reid. But now look at that running back room. Past Clyde Edwards-Helaire, it's Darrell Williams, Darwin Thompson, Jerick McKinnon. I understand Kansas City wants to throw the ball a lot, but they're going to need to run the ball as well. And I have Clyde Edwards-Helaire being the guy, picking up 55% of that rushing load, 220 attempts for 134 yards. The interesting thing with Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be, you know, the touchdowns. He only had 4 touchdowns last season on 181 attempts. I have him bumping up to 8 rushing touchdowns. If he doesn't hit that 8 rushing touchdown number, I think that's what's really going to drop him off. So that's going to be a key number there. I have him doubling his rushing touchdowns. That is a little aggressive. He finished as running back 20 last year. And again, we were very frustrated with him. It was all about value. He was going in the first round of seasonal leagues. All right. Late second round, early third round, you'll be happy, I think, with the return on Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And of course, from a dynasty perspective, if anybody is selling, he is absolutely a running back that you should be interested in buying. It was really interesting. The narrative coming out of college was that he was going to catch a lot of passes. He only caught 36 of 54 targets. That's not a fantastic catch percentage. It's not bad by any means, but it's not quite what we expected for him coming out of college. So translating it over this year, I have him catching 40 of 62 targets. So just bumping that up a little bit. 2 more receiving touchdowns, so 3 total receiving touchdowns. And so really relying on him getting into the end zone. And I think that Kansas City is going to make it a point to incorporate him more consistently. Remember, he kind of petered off towards the end of the season. That's not abnormal. You know, especially for a guy who saw immediate usage week 1, that rookie wall is a real phenomena, and it hits running backs especially hard, and I think we saw that with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Kansas City also had the ability to kind of intentionally fade him out at the end of the season, trying to use him down the stretch, trying to use him in the postseason, and keeping in mind that Kansas City is not playing a 16 or 17 game season every year, they're playing a 2021 game season. Kansas City is always aiming for the Super Bowl, whereas a team like Detroit is really playing a 16 or 17 game season, and it could lead to Andy Reid, you know, trying to space out the usage on a guy like Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And you could actually use that same kind of rationale when thinking about J.K. Dobbins, who I have as running back 13. This is another spot that I seem to disagree with folks on. I'm more bullish than most on J.K. Dobbins. There's actually a strong narrative out there right now that J.K. Dobbins isn't a running back 2 at all, which is a top 24 running back because of the volume that he's is or is not going to get. Y'all, J.K. Dobbins was running back 23 last season on 134 attempts and 24 targets. So I think J.K. Dobbins is safely, assuming he's healthy, a running back 2 at the minimum, but I have him pushing running back 1 territory. Now, I talk about this a lot. I think the Baltimore Ravens are one of the least understood offenses in the NFL from a general fan perspective, from a fantasy football player perspective. Now, I'm not claiming to have ultra insight into the NFL, but you know, I'm fortunate enough that I'm in the Baltimore area. I've followed the Ravens closely. Even before I got to Baltimore, I've always just been fascinated with their organization building, the way that they design their team. And I'm going to try not to go on a huge rant here, but you know, I should say the Baltimore Ravens, here's how they build out their organization. It goes defense first. That is the priority. That's been the priority. That will continue to be the priority. It's defense first. If you want to break that down even more, it's front seven and then their secondary. Specifically, you know, really focusing on the edge or interior guys that can force pressure. And then their secondary, their safeties in particular, they tend to use more safeties than most organizations and really kind of build a deep group there. But in particular, it's defense and then it goes offensive line. And in another way that they kind of separate themselves, they really have a focus on the interior offensive line and they build out, where a lot of teams really focus on the tackles and build in. Now, they've had great tackles, but they've also had great interior offensive linemen the past few seasons as well. After that, then it's running backs and then it's quarterback, wide receiver. That's how they prioritize their team. And it frustrates a lot of folks. You know, the whole narrative is, oh, they're going to flip over their offense. They're going to switch things up. They're going to do things differently this year. You know what? I understand they've hit a playoff wall, but for the most part, what they're doing is successful. They've been getting to the playoffs. They've been doing very well in the regular season. They control games. They control the pace of play. They get ahead. They run the ball. That's what they do. I don't see this revolution coming in Greg Roman's offense. Greg Roman, by the way, somebody who has employed the same offense consistently over the past 8 years since he's been at San Francisco. This is his offense and it works. So why are we expecting a revolution to this offense? I don't see it. What I do see is J.K. Dobbins running the ball and running the ball a lot. Now, I mentioned 134 rushing attempts. J.K. Dobbins was used rarely in the first half of last season. So 134 attempts is really the back half of last season for the most part. 230 attempts is what I have for him this year. That's only 40% of the rushing load. Only 40% gets you 230 attempts. The Ravens are running the ball more than 500 times this season. I promise, I guarantee it, I'll bet on it. J.K. Dobbins, at 5.3 rushing yards, he was extremely efficient. 5.3 is bullish, it's aggressive, but I think J.K. Dobbins can get it done behind the Baltimore offensive line that has been reinforced on the inside, which again is really the key. I know we're working a little bit iffy there on the tackles there with the Orlando Brown loss, but the interior is really the key. And I think J.K. Dobbins is going to go over 1,200 rushing yards. He's going to see 11 touchdowns. He saw 9 touchdowns on 134 attempts. All right, I think he can hit 11 on 230. And I also think he's going to catch more balls. Now, he caught 18 for 24 last year. I'm not even doing anything wild. 24 for 35. Nothing wild. A touchdown, 160 yards. He doesn't need to rely on the passing game. That's bonus money for him. Listen, everyone's freaking out about Gus Edwards. Guess what? I have Gus Edwards at 25% of the workload, 143 attempts. Do you know how many attempts that he went up after he signed his extension in my projections? Zero. He didn't move. Gus Edwards was always doing that job. Don't double count Gus Edwards' contract. Gus Edwards is filling in the role that Mark Ingram left behind. They're running the ball 500 times. Justice Hill, he's going to run the ball some. He's going to catch the ball some. And by the way, Lamar Jackson is going to continue running the ball. It's a run-first team. It works. They're going to keep doing it. And J.K. Dobbins is going to be the beneficiary of it. And now the one player, I wouldn't even call him a wild card. I think he's just flying under the radar. It's Cam Akers coming in here at running back 15 for me. Now, he finished as running back 38 last season, by far the lowest, and it's because he just wasn't consistently on the field. You know, we had some injury concerns there. I believe it was turf toe, if I'm remembering correctly, and he just wasn't consistently on the field. But 145 attempts, 625 yards, and 2 touchdowns when he was. He caught 11 of 14. So I think we saw enough, right? Darrell Henderson was fine. He's a really good zero running back guy right now, or a handcuff. But he's not Cam Akers. We saw Cam Akers. We saw what he can do. And I have been coming in as running back 15 this season in my seasonal projections. 234 attempts. I think he's going to get the carries. 1,050 yards. 7 rushing touchdowns. I think he catches 33 of 48 balls. 302 yards. 2 receiving touchdowns. So, you know, the big difference with Cam Akers, I actually have him with more rushing attempts than some of these other guys, but not as many touchdowns there, just because I'm not really sure, you know, what Sean McVay exactly is going to be doing in this offense. I think Matt Stafford is going to throw the ball a ton, and he's loaded up on options to throw the ball to. You know, we're going all over the field. I also do worry to a degree about Daryl Henderson, because I think he's a fine change of pace back. He's going to break off, and I think he's going to have some nice runs and some points of flash. And, you know, don't rule out Jake Funk taking that Malcolm Brown, stealing your touchdowns at the goal line. Jake Funk out of Maryland, I think, kind of plays a lot like Malcolm Brown, and it makes sense that the Rams wanted to take him on. And I have Jake Funk, you know, stealing 2 touchdowns, which doesn't sound significant, but 2 touchdowns could be the difference between running back 12 and running back 15 here. Either way, here's the big takeaway. DeAndre Swift, running back 6. Jonathan Taylor, running back 9. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, running back 10. J.K. Dobbins, running back 13. Cam Akers, running back 15. All of these players, these guys that we had highly touted last year, everybody told us we were overhyping them, overemphasizing how good this running back class is. Now, they're 5 of the best 15 running backs, the most crucial position in fantasy football in terms of scarcity. And you have 5 guys here that have not only held their value, but increased their value here over the course of a season. The only guy whose value may have slipped was Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and that was only because he was way overvalued to start. So these running backs have proven to be really fantastic and growing in value. Now, let's actually look at them. Let's actually build them out here in the 2021 Dynasty Rankings. So just so, you know, I went with my initial rookie rankings. I talked about projections. So where do we fall in terms of the big scheme, the dynasty rankings, which I know most of my listeners are playing? You know, who are the guys to go after? Who's worth paying up for? Let's start here with Cam Akers. He's coming in at number 5 on this list, running back 16 overall in dynasty right now. You know, I think it's there. He's going at the lowest cost right now, and so Cam Akers, I think, is a really good guy. If he's sitting in the back end of the 3rd round, in the 4th round of your startups, I think he's a really good value, and somebody who I think is going to be a consistent guy. You know, I don't know if Cam Akers is ever going to be Jonathan Taylor and put up huge games, or DeAndre Swift and break off tremendous plays and have his highlights thrown all over Twitter. But I think Cam Akers for the next 2 to 3 years is going to be a really productive, really consistent back here. And I think he is a locked and loaded running back too, at the minimum, with some serious upside in one of the flashier offenses in the NFL. So Cam Akers coming in running back 16 right now, I think he's a fantastic dynasty asset. And he's right there with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So I mentioned Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He was actually projected out 3rd in 2021. He was actually originally my 3rd running back. But over the course of this year here, I'm sliding him down because I think what we've seen from Clyde Edwards-Helaire is that his situation isn't as guaranteed as we thought it was going to be. And so I'm reverting back to the actual tape evaluation that I have on these guys, and now I'm going to slide J.K. Dobbins above Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That being said, running back 15 is nothing to scoff at. You know, I have him as running back 10 this year. I do expect at some point Kansas City is going to work in a running back that will probably start eating into Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Again, I'm talking 1 to 2 years down the road. I'm talking a dynasty context here. Edwards-Helaire is still a great guy if he's around, you know, in the 3rd round of your dynasty leagues. You got to snatch him up. If you're looking for a running back to be add on your roster, I think you could be aggressive with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You know, if you could take advantage of an owner being uncertain about the inconsistent work last year, you could take advantage of that. Add them to your roster. All 5 of these guys are buys. This episode is not knocking any of these running backs. Coming in at number 3 here, out of this list of 5 guys that we're re-ranking from the 2020 running back class, that's going to be J.K. Dobbins out of Baltimore. Listen, J.K. Dobbins, he's just, he's really the full package. I don't know how else to say it. Again, I think he's just going to be really, really good. You know, again, he might not be the flashiest guy, but he's going to get the job done. That's what he did at Ohio State, and I think it's going to translate here, and we're going to see that consistently this season for a full year with Baltimore. He's running back 9 in my dynasty rankings. I'm not letting him out of the 2nd round of a dynasty startup. I've gotten him in the third. You know, if I'm picking early in the second, I've gotten him in the third. I've traded up to get him in some dynasty startups to get, you know, an extra guy in the first couple of rounds. Everybody says don't trade up in dynasty startups. Well, if J.K. Dobbins is falling, go ahead and go for it. So I have him coming in here running back 9. I mentioned the reasons, and I think that his role is really, really secure here in Baltimore over the next 3 years. I can't guarantee anything. I have a good feeling that J.K. Dobbins will be a second contract running back with the Baltimore Ravens, and that he's going to be a crucial part of this offense that has always had a running back as a crucial part of their successful teams. Jonathan Taylor coming in here at running back 7. Like I said, you can't go wrong with Jonathan Taylor. You have talent. You have volume. You have one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. You're probably not getting Jonathan Taylor. This is a situation where I doubt the Jonathan Taylor owner is going to give Jonathan Taylor up. But, you know, first pick in your dynasty startup draft, if you're back end of the first, second, you know, if second pick, if you're swinging around the turn there, I think if you're picking anywhere in that 9 spot range, 9, 10, 11, 12, there, you should walk away with Jonathan Taylor, either with your first selection or if you could swing it around with your second selection, you know, in a super flex league, which everybody, you know, hopefully we're playing in. Everything I do is super flex and all my rankings are super flex based. And DeAndre Swift, I'm putting him back up top. I flip-flopped him and Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor was barely ahead of him to start. You know, DeAndre Swift, he's one spot ahead of Jonathan Taylor. So I'm not going to, you know, sit here and make this huge point on DeAndre Swift over Jonathan Taylor. They're very comparable players here, but I'm going with the talent. I'm not fading this fake Detroit narrative here. I'm going to look at what I know. I'm going to look at my stats. I'm going to trust my eyes. And my eyes are telling me that DeAndre Swift is just as good of a player now as we thought he would be coming out of Georgia. And now he's got some volume. And I think this year he's going to absolutely explode. He's going to be running back 6 on the season. He's running back 6 in my dynasty rankings. There you have it. We have re-ranked the 2020 running back class. Hey, exciting things happening over at patreon.com/theffeducator. I just dropped the first version of the 2022 rookie big board. There's no summer scouting reports in yet. That's what I'm going to be doing over the next couple months, but the skeleton is there. There's 86 players on the big board here. They're very tentatively ranked. The ranking will move a ton once summer scouting grades actually start coming in, but we're on to 2022. We're going to start talking about 2022 guys here on the podcast over the next month or so. We're going to keep looking forward at last year's class, this incoming rookie class. We're covering it all. And by the way, if you want to try to piece all these things together, the cornerstone rankings are also there at patreon.com/theffeducator. Thanks for checking out this episode. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the support as always. If you have not yet left a review and a 5-star for the podcast, please take a moment and do that. And again, patreon.com/theffeducator.